know the organizer.
August 19th, 2019, Thomas Edison Board of Directors meeting.
Hey, everybody, how you doing? How are you? All right, so I got you on here. We're going to get ready to start. All right, welcome, everybody. Summer months fly by. This one, they want to pass out the agenda.
I need a copy of that.
Yes. All right, and so everybody should have an agenda, and the minutes are coming around. When you get the minutes, just take a quick look at them. So just take a minute, take a look at the minutes. They're from June because when they meet last month. So just take a quick look. Let me know if you see anything that sticks out. Got 30 seconds.
How awesome of the approval.
Hey, Mr. Blossom, I could count on you to count the 30 seconds. Is there a motion? Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Second, Neil Brown. Minutes have been motioned to be approved. Any necessary corrections? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Any oppositions? Ayes have it. Public comment. Parents present. School has not started yet. There are no parents present. Well, we have parent board members. Feel free to talk here or join our board members later in the agenda.
Section 2.
And plus, you get an opportunity on the board member comments. You're not just a parent. Any teacher comment? All right. Teachers are living the dream.
Still getting ready for the how many years?
Yes.
Just want a couple updates. The numbers that we sent, that I sent out on the, for the enrollment were lower than the numbers that I somehow didn't factor in new applications that we hadn't processed yet. So I'm going to update you and give you what the current numbers are, and if you could just, if you want to make corrections, you can. It doesn't matter. You don't have to follow along, but I just want to do that before I forget. In kindergarten, we're at 62 instead of 40, right? And then also, and then we still have...
We had about 15 apps later.
That we're waiting for
signatures,
yeah.
And so on.
On top of the 62, yeah.
Yeah.
So that will be...
10 to 15, I think, right now, waiting for signatures.
Right. So we have... Yeah,
no,
they're
accepted,
already,
they just need to sign.
Already accepted, just waiting on them to come in and sign. So that would... we'll be approaching the number 80. Next week or two, and also the budget is on
725
this year, right? So that was a good strategic move.
Yeah.
So we actually prepared our budget to 725, and I think we're already close to exceeding that already. I think we'll be in very good shape with that. 62 in kindergarten, first grade is at 97 instead of 94. Second grade is at 86 instead of 80. I apologize for moving too fast. Third grade is at 93 instead of 87. Fourth grade is at 88 instead of 86. Fifth grade is at 83 instead of 79. Sixth grade is still at 76. Seventh grade is at 65 instead of 66. And eighth grade is still at 52. So I did get something right. So six and seven come up.
Go back and give me the first, please.
So I'm going to run through them all again. 62, 97, 86, 93, 88, 83, 76, 65, 52.
Bingo.
Bingo. And somebody tally that up. We should be aware. That's right there in front of you. 702 would be where we would be right now. And
15 or 10.
Right.
7 or 10.
And that's just kindergarten.
Right. Yeah, I see.
But
yeah.
You look at
62, so even if we got to 90, we'd have another 30 kindergartners.
So we added another 30 kindergarten, but we still have us below where we were last year, which having a smaller kindergarten doesn't hurt, because we really know if we had a strategic, we're really trying to focus on K and one student to build that foundation for reading. So even if we were at 90 and 92 for kindergarten, still puts us at 730-ish.
Yeah.
And we still have apps in grades 1, 2. We have wait lists in many grades now. So we'll learn. Well, Stubbs closed, and we got a large number of apps and stuff there. Stubbs closed.
The consolidation of that mall, Christina.
Right. And then you know.
I wanted to go to Warner.
Right.
Right. And then you know also that Byard is now grade 1 and 8 instead of 5. Oh, so it's
like the first.
Yes. Some folks will struggle with that. So, so I wanted to correct that. Also, what I did not include in the school report was the fact that we have been, it was announced that we were adopted by this law firm.
I'm glad you worked that out.
White and Williams.
Yeah.
Right. Did she talk to you about that at all?
Yeah, she let me know. Ruba's online.
Yeah. Hello, Ruba.
Hey, Principal. How are you?
Good. What's the lady's name you've been working with?
Lauren.
Lauren said Ruba just raved about the school and all.
Thanks, Ruba.
She knew so much. Ruba, you do a good job of talking about it. She knew so much about the school, but she said we traditionally select one or two schools that we work with, and we were one of the candidates. And we thought we'd be a shoo-in, and she said, well, not a shoo-in, we still need you to apply. And we had to send information about the school, the kids, the relationship that we have with the board, all the work we've been doing. And she emailed back and said, we selected you guys. And
for 2 years.
Hmm?
For this year and next year.
We're going to fund a full uniform closet for students.
Oh,
What else are they talking about?
Well, we don't have school uniforms, but we do have school supply drive right now
for
the kids. And then they're going to get some laundry detergent for us. Because
we have a wash and dry right here on site
yeah.
to wash the students.
So for our uniform closet,
So they're going to, it's really going to be huge. So we're really appreciative of that. And we need to put a nice thank you letter together.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll use one we used when the house and your team that did a lot of good things. You helped us develop. We use the same letter.
Same
maybe format. Probably get a couple board signatures on that. And we'll join you sign that.
They're going to do a kickoff celebration, so they're going to bring some of the attorneys here. We don't have a date yet, but we'll let you know. So,
right, so
yeah, that'd be nice.
So did I understand you to say that a full closet and laundry support?
And laundry support.
Yes.
And along with a few other things, too.
I mean, I asked for, we asked for kind of undergarments, sweaters, shoes, even kind of the organization for the closet, because that's huge that we are able to keep it but organize it. We're super excited about it to be able to.
But I think even some of the support around, like, surrounds instructional materials, technology, there are a whole host of things as partners that they will support us. When the school providing students what they need, but they'll be doing a host of
mentoring drives.
I think it'll be a great partnership. Yeah, it'd be great. So again, thank you, Rupert, for that. I'll move quickly. I know we want to stay on time. All teachers, we are all positions. You know, we have no vacancies. All positions filled. Right, which is great, because I'm getting calls from schools asking me about resumes, because some have six vacancies in one subject area, so we are happy and blessed about that. Just did a two new teacher orientation. Teachers have already been back a week for professional development, and students arrived on Thursday, first day of the students on Thursday.
Yay.
Out of that 31, how many are first year?
Teachers? Well, these are just the grade teachers. Yeah, a large number
of specialists.
But of that 31, you could say maybe 8, 9.
First year, brand new first year teachers? Yeah.
Right. Well, a couple are not brand new.
They're
not brand new. Yeah. Might be lower than that, I think. It might be maybe 7 or 8. Because the thing is not new, right? So that would be great. So we attached our Smarter Balance score to the email. And as I wrote in the email, you'll see in the scores where we had some grades students didn't do well. And we use that as a focus for developing our professional development for the coming year, also for some staffing moves as well. I will preface, you know, my report on the score with the fact that we have always been a school where we know we can't evaluate our students based on the standardized test scores because of all of the other issues that they deal with. And the history of standardized testing, the bias, and those kinds of things, it's a short period. We know it's a way that we are able to report and track how our students are doing, but we also focus on the social and emotional well-being of the whole child here. We also know that through the data, as our students move through, they perform much better. As you saw in our eighth graders, they exceeded the average. One of the few city schools where students, I think probably the only Wilmington in middle school that exceeded the state average. But I'm just going to ask my team to take 30 seconds or a minute to talk about some of our initiatives that we have this year to address some of our targets and strategies for supporting the students in math and literacy as well.
So as a math coach, the state of Delaware has a program that math coaches can apply to and be a part of to get additional coaching. So I'm being coached on how to be a better math coach. I can bring back to our staff to support them better. We're also going to be using something called Affirm, which is an online testing resource to get them more practice on the type of questions and experience on
because we do believe that a large number of the scores will be reported. And I looked at the statewide scores, and it seemed like in certain grades, certain levels, there were a large number of schools that had extremely low scores. And I think much of that is due in part to students not being, especially in the younger grades, not being familiar with the format of the test, how to take the test, computerized test. And also not having that stamina for these hours on one day over 3, 4, 5 days of testing as well. So I think that'll be, that would help being able to prepare them for that process.
On the literacy side, same thing. We're going to be looking to embed more smarter balance practice throughout the course of the year. Last year in particular, we started more coming new year in January, so I think we're going to push that up sooner. We have a partnership with the University of Delaware for our literacy curriculum, and we've increased the number of coaching days that we receive. So our coach will be here once a week from now until the end of the year. And the last big focus on the literacy side is data, so really having that benchmark assessment drive our instruction so that we can better intervene sooner.
And then from the PD side,
well, beginning of the year, we did send all new, and then a large majority of our teachers went to bookworms training at the University of Delaware for 3 full days.
And that's the reading program.
Yeah, we had the math training here for all new teachers or new to Edison teachers.
And that's also going to happen throughout the school year, twice a month.
Yeah, so somebody from the actual engaging work will be coming to provide PD. So we have that. We had 2 full days with our new teachers, which was really, I think, a strong PD. And then they had a PD today on culture and climate, which really kind of set a really good foundation for them. So.
And the training from the day, what I was like, when I was there, it was a big piece on communicating with parents, what the expectations are, and how.
Push on social emotional learning. So it's a huge, really, undertaking this year is to make sure that we're taking care of the whole child. And I think we'll see a lot of benefit if we can do that. We'll see a lot of benefit academically.
Right. And then we're working with our leadership team, which is encompassed by our teachers here, which is helping us on the leadership team. And we're working with teams to develop, which we met for an hour. I talked to a bunch of people more than an hour. But talking about developing these goals for each team instructionally in terms of raising the rigor, as early as kindergarten and first grade for those students, so that we're able to impact their ability to read at a much earlier level. So when they get into those grades where standardized tests become much more important, they are more prepared. They've taken on that challenge to really have some of those courageous conversations with their teams to be able to push and drive. Again, not focusing on tests because students are tested a lot. Really focusing on making sure that we can track what is going on, because our model for this year is what gets monitored gets what?
Done.
Gets done. So that's sort of our, that's our model. We're going to start a little rapping.
Yeah.
Say that model again. No, seriously.
What gets monitored
gets done.
Oh, monitored.
Yeah, so.
Really want to work on that. Are there any questions or comments about
Is the computer-based testing the same work that was done last year? You're saying we started later in the year, and we'll start sooner.
This year they're going to. Oh, you mean the benchmark? The smarter practice. Are we starting that earlier?
Yeah, we're starting that process.
And
right.
It's all computer-based, so that when they come to do the smarter balance test, it's not like a whole other set of skills they have to have. It'll be worked on throughout the course of the year.
A great question, too, because, I'm sorry, is that we're also working with our technology, with the development technology, to make sure that those students that have technology classes, even at early grades, are familiar. Because one thing our students are doing, that they're not getting keyboarding skills, very important. When you take away typing and those other skills, but they need to be able to type on that. When they take that test, they need to be able, they need to know that keyboard. So it becomes, those skills become very important. So we want to make sure that we're designing what they're learning in technology. We love the students to be able to know about websites and other things, but they need to be aware of that keyboard and how to operate.
And we went one-to-one in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. So we should have every child in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade will have a computer to use. They'll kind of sign it out in the morning and then sign it back in the afternoon. So it's their computer for the day. So it's one-to-one in 6th, 7th, and 8th.
And that's been a goal for you. You see, but that's a goal. Now, we're not at the point where the student can take the computers home yet.
Right?
But each student will have, there will be one computer for every student before they share. You know, thanks to Ms. Winder, her work, and then Jeff, our technology person, they work around the budget and then really strategize on how it's been a couple of years we've been wanting to go through this. Because now that those students will have that access, and Mr. Till will be able to test this, because it can be a struggle when students like, this computer doesn't work, this computer doesn't work, got to go get this computer, I got to borrow, share. Each student will now, it's one-to-one, everybody will have a computer, which will give them more time on task, on a computer-based literacy or mathematics program.
So this goal was realistic in 2019?
It's right now.
Yes,
right
from
grade 6, 7, and 8. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Okay, that's what I want to know.
Mr. Kuba, I cut you off.
Yeah, mine was just, and I guess tied into what you was asking in terms of that, the test that you guys had of the monitoring. Is that smarter balance?
The Ames Web? Yes, we're still doing it, yes. That's
okay.
Our benchmarking test. We do it three times a year.
Because if I remember correctly, that was saying something like, when you presented it here at the board, it was like 40%. And then the numbers, we're like, oh, okay, that looks good. And then
another set of data, but not necessarily aligned to smarter. But it is an indication of how our kids are doing on certain skills that it is testing.
Right.
And if they're gonna add online
right.
on the computer as well.
Yes.
So real quick, just for those of you at least with testing, so I've done like a lot of research on the assessment requirements by state, by grade, and everything, just for the program admin as well. And just something to note that, like, as far as testing goes, the Department of Education also doesn't see eye to eye on, like, whether state testing is necessarily a good representation of how the kids are doing in school. So I do want to commend the teachers on making the effort of getting the extra training and being more rigorous, like, to meet the state standards. And I commend you because that's a hard thing to do, I mean, you have so much going on in your classroom and skills that you need to be getting across that are valuable to the students, which don't necessarily apply to the tests themselves. Like, taking tests, test-taking skills is a skill of its own, which I think is very different from skills that students would need in academics separately. So, I mean, you're taking on extra stuff to meet standards for the state, right? And I'm a big believer in, like, school and education is not cookie cutter, and I think state testing does that. I feel that, like, a perfect example of that is kids have different ways of learning, so just like that, kids have different ways of taking tests, and there are some students that are not good test takers. I was one of them, right? And that definitely impacts, how they do, but it doesn't say how they do in school itself. That could be completely different with a different support system. Another factor is how you feel the day of an exam. If you're having a bad day, you didn't sleep well the night before for whatever reason, you're coming in and taking a test and you might not do well. It has no representation on how the teachers are necessarily doing, So all of these factors I think are important. I also feel like the tests also concentrate on specific knowledge and abilities, and they can't, to have a test that covers everything the student should learn, it would make the test so long and it would be too difficult. So they're focusing on certain things, whereas our teachers are trying to, like, be really good and fill in those gaps, And so you guys are doing above and beyond what you need to do, and I think that's something to definitely recognize as well. So I just wanted everyone to kind of recognize that, I appreciate you giving the scores of the tests you know, even looking at that and looking at what the tests expect of our students, I feel like you guys are actually doing a great job, and I don't want you to feel like those scores are necessarily representative of how you guys are doing.
And the research also shows also that those tests also take into consideration certain levels of prior knowledge that students that live in impoverished communities or rural communities do not have.
Definitely.
So, right. So, and I'll send you some information on that so you'll have them be able to read that. How there's actually a move to actually eliminate standardized testing.
Yes, there is.
Because it doesn't actually indicate necessarily what a teacher actually. And there's some states who actually use standardized performance as a way to evaluate teachers, which there's a movement to move away from that. But while we do understand that the test can be unfair, we also, as a staff, a group of educators, know that's also how people look to see how students are performing.
Yeah.
So we continue to try to meet those goals and benchmarks. What drives us is that a large number of our students get into some of the top schools when they graduate here. And when they do leave eighth grade, our students are outperforming almost every high needs inner city school, you know, in the state of Delaware, which is a testimony too. So we know to the teachers for their diligence. So we know you may not, sometimes you do some work and you may never get a chance, you may plant a tree and may never get a chance to enjoy the shade from that tree. But just knowing that as those students get older, they do well. We've got a lot of work in helping those students early on to become better readers so that we know that they can perform better. These tests are very rigorous and very challenging, and we have to make sure we're prepared for them. You were going
to? Yeah, I was just going to say, when I look at this, I often look for the story within the story, right? So, number one, yeah, I'm surprised to see the state averages are what they are. We know our challenges, but these indicate to me that the state as a whole has some serious challenges. And, you know, we obviously have some ground cover, but I look at the ELA as an example. I take that. It doesn't work as smoothly as with math, but I just take it. So if you look from fifth form, right, you know, so we're at 16%, you will say, we can do better than that. Six was at 31%, seven was at 53%, eight was at 57%. And so I look at the eighth grade average versus the state, 57 versus 52.
Yeah.
I look at 7th grade, 53 versus 55, and I'm encouraged because the story that tells me is kids are getting more comfortable taking the test.
Yes.
They're retaining a little bit. They're improving year over year. And I think those are the things that we kind of look at. And then I look at 5th grade in math, and that's clearly an issue, not just at Thomas Edison, but in the state. I mean, Kumba, whatever they're doing, they did something right. But, you know, Bancroft is at 3, Warner's at 3. State overall is under 50%. So I just kind of look at these. I'm encouraged because we tend to grow on previous. So this eighth grade class, you know, was in seventh grade the year before, and they were in sixth grade the year before that. So, you know, you just look for year over year improvement from that vintage, from that particular group of kids as they chart through. Through the system. So I'm encouraged. We have work to do. We have AIMS testing. We're addressing this. You know, the school knows that we have a challenging population. That's evidenced by our peers here. But we know that kids deserve to have the best. And you know, we're going to continue to strive to get there.
And there is consistently down through the years, I've been here a long time, consistently down through the years, when our kids exit from here, they are at the top.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they can challenge anybody.
Right. And that's at the state average. So that's not against schools with similar populations.
No.
The state average takes all of your suburban, all those schools.
I talked to the young man just recently this summer at Gerard. He's tearing them up.
Who, the Marconi?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He's tearing them up. I mean, and he's loving it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And so to Ami's point, also, a lot of times, the students, their experiences that day that week may impact, you know, how they, because it's not something where they're measuring all year, it's that one period. And students in our community, I mean, we've had, you know, in the news you saw, what, 7 shootings in a week? You know, we had one on Sunday right outside the school. On Thursday, another one. So these students, sad to say, oftentimes aren't thinking about the test, the next test I'm going to receive. Often they just want to know, am I going to make it home, you know, safely? So I think that we're also focused on making sure students feel safe. And we'll be reporting to you at the next meeting on some measures we're taking to assure parents and students and the community and staff that we have systems in place to respond to emergencies, to notify them of emergencies, but also to help the students feel confident and safe and respected, you know, as well. So we appreciate the support. We know we have a lot of work to do, as you said, sir, but we're up to the challenge. We have strategically made some decisions, whether it be budget-wise, whether it be staff-wise, and with programs and professional development to address these issues. And I think that together, as we work together, we continue to see improvement.
I get to attend the 8th grade graduation year over year, and it's obvious to me, you know, when they finish there and they're in a good position to go on to the next.
Yeah, you attend that graduation. You see the student come back, graduate, come back to the graduation, and see if they, a leadership day, other things. When we do that, we're going to try to, our best to make sure these students go out become a leader in the field.
Do they give you a description of the curriculum that's covered for those tests? You get breakdown afterwards?
On release items, did we get anything from SMART on that? They're very tight on this information to avoid.
Yeah, because they just like, they ain't got the money to pass it.
Yes. 30% here. It's not like Bancroft 2, 1-3, which is where 2%. And that class, 2018, they were 13 before, they were 25 in third grade. So they're progressing down, but I mean, there was something that happened. But I don't think we've ever had a single thing.
Yeah, they keep changing the test too. Yeah. So that's part of the thing. We're almost playing catch up a little bit at times. They're playing this catch up game because the test changes the things that we thought it was,
mm-hmm.
and they go around and tweak it to whatever we know that. But I do think the extra kind of getting more familiar with the test from the kids will help us, especially in that third, fourth, fifth grade range. The more they kind of have questions in any language that we're trying to use, any language we kind of use daily to reflect the language that they're going to see on Smarter. Because sometimes it's as simple as a phrase that they didn't, they know the concept, but that, it mixed them up. And then it throws them off. So just really trying to look at language that Smarter uses and we're embedding it into what we do every day so that when the kids are taking the test, they are familiar with that.
And when I see those single digits, to me, that indicates to me as an educator is that there were students who became frustrated in the test and just said that you shut down.
Looking at individual scores, it's mind-boggling. When we know kids, I know their body of work, and then I see their score, and I'm like, sad because it's not them, and I know that they can do so much better, but for whatever reason the test either frustrated them or tricked them up or whatever it may be, but they didn't get to show what they know because there's so many kids who I think living individually when I look at kids that I'm surprised didn't pass.
Is the test times, is it time tested if you want to finish by a period of time?
It's not timed, but they do have to, like, if they go to a certain question, they can't go back. They have to do it in there. They can't go back to once they see a question. So if they've seen a question, they have to answer it before they,
But they don't have, they're not able to go back?
Well, they're able to go back in that section, but then let's say the next day they couldn't go back to something they did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Not time.
So, by the end of the day, whenever they go back and review every question,
right.
And that's it.
They can.
And although it's not time, many of them rush right now.
Oh.
Rush right
through.
Yeah, that's always what, and that's
right, and that doesn't help. it's not time for a reason, because if you take your time, then you'll be better. But they rush through to get through it, because a lot of times they just don't.
But there's a prize at the end. Right. Like hit buttons.
They don't view or accept the cultural significance of what that balance, that test is trying to do. The test doesn't speak the language that they speak.
Right.
You know, it's, and
you sound like an educator over there.
It's been going on forever.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter which test, those tests do not speak the language that our kids that we're working with here speak every day.
And you know, as the kids get older, they're more mature and able to take longer and know the significance of it. So your 8, 9, 10 year olds really don't see the importance of it. But as they do get older, we can kind of instill in them. They understand. They're more mature. They, you know, they really do take their time. But it's harder for those younger grades to really instill the importance of the test. It doesn't mean anything.
I think that's a big key. That 8th grade too, and it's, they really push those students on. And really, their whole team, those take your time. Those students, they really take their time. And I think that's why they find a way to be able to exceed that state average, because they have accepted the idea that if I don't rush, I can really show you what I can do. I mean, traditionally, because, and you know, I don't want to blame video games and technology, but everything's speed. They're making faster phones, faster computers. Everything's faster response time. But yet, when I get on this device, I'm supposed to slow down and take my time. So it could be it can be a challenge. But I don't want to belabor the point, but I do think it was a worthy discussion. I think it was valuable, and we're always open to continuing the discussion to how we can help our students.
Sure. Mine is not necessarily looking for a question, for an answer to the question that they asked, but just putting it out there in terms of, does it recognize all that 7th and 8th grade? So what's being done, and I'm not looking for an answer right now, for 6th and 5th. So if you start going down a grade and looking at just an idea of what, and I think some of the stuff that I heard you said is probably happening, but really taking a hard look at what's back next month, what's being done with the 6th and 5th, you know, to get them to see the light early. You know, we talk about, you know, because they don't have Miss Ennis in the 6th and 7th grade. I know that's a wonderful difference.
I wish we did.
I know that's and that's always been the case when they've had, I see her, the language arts teacher or whoever was teaching math, the same thing. It's somebody goes above and beyond, and what can we do to get that above and beyond going down? I know we've got that in some isolated, like Ms. Vaughn in the 4th grade. But working it backwards.
So preview of what we'll, when we come back with that information, that we're having those teachers go in and watch Ms. Ennis, see what Ms. Ennis is doing. What can you emulate from what you see in terms of culture in a classroom? Also, a key that we can't miss is that Ms. Ennis has been here double-digit years, right? Mm-hmm. Those teachers in the 5th and 6th grade, 2 or 3 years, and we're constantly replacing them. They're moving on to suburban districts, safer areas, higher pay. So if there's a high turnover, then you don't have that consistency. Ms. Ennis and Mr. Till have been there as long as 3rd floors have been in existence. So it's like a family.
I think the other thing we talked about, and that's the last thing I want to make, is what we talked about earlier, we haven't done anything wrong with that grant writing, because hopefully that would either find you money, free up money, that would allow us to build a witness in the 6th.
I think that would be, what's that?
Build an Ennis.
I think this would be a great year really for us to kind of take the next step on that and develop that. Even if we just develop the committee for the fundraising and grants, just to get it started and look at that. Because we're board certification because that gives her a bump that without the board having to do it. Does the state give that? The state gives a 12% raise in national board. We have a few teachers we know that would easily make the national board. It's a process, a rigorous process.
It's a year-long process.
But, right, but that then that keeps other districts from coming and offering her
yeah.
bigger raise and trying, because we can't afford to lose a person like that.
I know. Is there anything that the board could do, like in her case, I don't know if there's any classes or if we identify people like that with a little bit of money, or again,
yeah.
looking and trying to get a grant that would cover
So we can come back later with some ideas like that that
yeah.
we're doing. But that's
yeah.
the point, Coop, is being able, is being proactive, is let's develop this committee, let's get these grants and these funds so we can begin to develop strategies to retain people. Because
yeah.
if you look at the students who are doing well, they're in there with teachers who have been there, because it's hard when you invest this money in professional development a couple of years before. So we become a training
yeah.
ground for other districts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
a farm, exactly, a farm system.
Yeah.
So, I mean, no disrespect to those people because they're trying their best and they have
yeah.
to feed their families.
Yeah.
But we know that those folks who have been here,
yeah.
Who are here, like, you know, just these folks, I actually commend them at our all-staff meeting because they've been consistent board members. It's outside of, you know, board. A lot of people don't understand board membership is not a paid position. This is service. This is volunteer. And they do that, you know, on top of their teaching load, you know, every day, but it's their consistency that I think allows, and it's an example for other people who want to be here. So I think that's a major strategy too. But for some more, you know, good news we always like to share, we have some trainings that we're doing with our students, with our staff members. Back to school night, important day is Wednesday, September 11th from 5:30 to 7. I'll look at some building and operations, summer cleaning, waxing of floors are done. Floors look good.
Yeah.
Yeah, very nice. Third and fourth grade hallways painted. New security cameras, wiring is all been done. Now it's time for them. We talked about that a couple months ago.
Yeah.
You know? So that's all now coming into fruition with the cameras and the hardware that are all being installed next. So we're excited about the new hardware. And then the cement wall in the back, we finally, because that tree that will never die, that is back again. And the issue is the stump grinding is that the cement workers have to go in the garbage here today. They got to take the cement. They have to go underground and grab that. Underground to be able to take that root out and then go back and re-up and resubmit. So we should have a proposal within the next 24, 48 hours from them. On the root work, and they're going to do both. So we're going to have two different, like the root work and the cement work as well. So once we get that, we'll forward that to the board. Okay. So sorry for such a long report, but I know we've been great on time, you know, at our meetings. But
Stewards of Children's tomorrow, right?
What's that?
Yeah, Stewards of Children's is the 19th, not the 19th, Tuesday.
What did I get wrong?
Yeah.
It's tomorrow, right? But I got the wrong date. Child abuse. They talk about some internet issues too, or no?
I'm sure they do. Yeah,
right.
It's a 2.5-hour training from the Bo Biden Foundation. It was made a law this, I guess, August 1st for all state employees to be trained in this evidence-based training for child abuse. So it's a very, I think, kind of rough. rough training that we're going to go through tomorrow. It's tough, but yeah, we need to do it. Yeah, the stewards are
done.
Yeah. She came to the charter school meeting and talked about it.
Motion to approve.
Okay. Just Ollie's gave a yes, and in that safety and bullying prevention. So that, you know, I knew that was a part of it, but I know a big part of child abuse, but a lot of that happens, you know, online as well. But I'm sorry about that.
I'm watching the school report over there.
All right. Moved
to
second. I'm all in favor.
Aye.
All right. No, it was very good.
Thank you. No,
very
good
conversation,
sir.
Very good.
And also, just before we go, Ollie was at one of the what training workshops?
The Delaware Charter School's got one.
Charter School, yeah. So we want to thank you for coming down.
Learned a lot.
Yeah, support us on that. Yeah, definitely. Appreciate it.
School financials? Point out that we, you know, if you look at the bottom right-hand corner, we finished in the black, which is always good. You know, we spend so much time throughout the year just focusing on expenses and everything, and that's not always fun conversations, but the school does a great job. And and regardless of what our edited financials look like when we were doing the transfer, the school's always, you know, I can't think of the last time we did not finish in a positive position. So good job to Ms. Wander, to the administrative team for being
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
If you finish in the black, can you carry that money over to the next year? I'm just asking because at college, like, that goes into the general fund. So
we
can't carry anything over.
I mean, you kind of carry because the funds are there, but it's still kind of like, because
it's a new year.
It's a new year. And
yeah.
So suppose this year we finished negative 405.
Uh-huh.
Right? No one will say, oh, but they finished positive 405, so that's really a wash. No, they... And so the school, so Ms. Wander will have to, and Principal L will have to try to come close come in on their current budget, knowing, I think personally, that that should kind of be added as a buffer or a cushion, but it's not. So
okay.
Next year, when we have this, and you look at the bottom line, there's nothing that says, well, last year you did X, Y, Z, which is why me personally, typically in the month of June, I just are like, what do we need to do? And let's just try to spend
the money. I had to do that too, but if I had $50,000 left over, which I did sometime, that was gone. Went to the life fund. That was gone. But we did a pretty good job of getting close to zero.
And that's the goal. That's what we want.
Yeah, I just want to.
I mean, I would have my own ideas if they would just be like, here's, you did a good job, so here you go.
Mr. Chairman, move acceptance.
Mr. Blossom, thank you.
Second.
Amen. Then move to second. Any questions, anybody? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? That's seven. All right. The board charges?
Yeah. Okay.
What's your name?
No, I got okay, if you look at the sheet, the M&T, that's titled...
the single sheet or the packet?
The packet, yeah, the crew, the new loan. That's, we have some, it's a minimum again in terms of looking at, if you look down there in terms of the... where we put some money into sort of a money market, so we get a minimum return, but at least we've got something that we're hopefully trying to do something with. We really haven't talked anything recently about trying to put it in other items. So that's the one that says $299,000, an ending balance of $299,842.63. That could be something that we could look at. This is our checking account that we could look at doing something with. The next single sheet is the, this is the money market, I'm sorry. This is the market advantage business one. The $600,741 that we started with. And again, we again, this is placed in a minimum amount. So again, we need to look at what we can do in the finance committee. And anyone else got some suggestions? But this is not a good time to do get involved in the stock market.
That's not.
Yeah. not with government money. Any questions on those two items? So those pretty much. Next one is just a statement of the accounts in terms of, if you go down to the bottom, it's called the single sheet statement of accounts. You can see the checks that we got in, and some money that was passed through going, that we turned over to the school, as well as the teacher appreciation we can conduct. So that what was done for the amount of checks, really only two checks that have been written so far last month. Any questions that someone has about the...
Sir?
Mr. Chairman, move acceptance.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, ayes have it. All right, the achievement committee? As we go through the committees, I know we're board members, Mr. Davis, Ms. Patel, think about, if which of these, if any, because I'm thinking the achievement might be very good for you, just think of any committee that you will want to be a part of, and just certainly just let us know, and we'll get you on there.
This particular report looks at the results from the goal that was set, in a sense, by the state at our last 5-year average. And we're into the second year, as you can see, going into our third year. We just completed the second year in 2018, 2019. So the goal that was set for this year for math that we were looking at was 30%. You can see where we end up total at the 10% average, and then the goal that was set for language arts was at 40%, we're at a 29 or roughly a 30%, so just a smaller drop than it was for the math. We've answered a lot of questions. We had a lot of dialogue earlier with the principal's report, so I don't see much that we can that I have to talk about here. It's just pointing out that we have an overall goal that's set for us by 21-22, and that we need to, in terms of trying to reach. It's not that the state has asked us to shoot for it. So we need to give this some serious consideration. And I think we've had the conversation earlier, and it's just a continuation. It's asking some questions.
Thank you, Matt. Yeah. Very good. We've been in front of us. We've had a lot of discussion around it tonight.
Yeah, so I don't see there's need to do any more discussion. Unless somebody has commented on it.
Agenda.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've asked Rupa to chair our first day, chair our personnel committee. So, I'll be able to help her out with anything that she needs in transition, and anyone else that's interested with that, you know, you can let myself or Rupa know. So, so there'll be no report tonight, but Rupa will be able to take that over from there.
So we can take it over.
So I just wanted to share that, and so next month we'll have her address the personnel committee. Operations committee?
Nothing to report other than the RFP.
And this is just a RFP out there.
And basically, we have a pretty good system, and we trust our staff in bringing us the information relative to this. So with that in mind, I move that we move forward with the RFP for the digital copier system.
I think I heard it was second. Okay, it's been moved to second. Any questions? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
All right. Any opposition? All right, guys. So, Ms. Winder, you'll be accepting those through, looks like, the first week of September or so.
Operations Committee. Al. The only other thing
I'm sorry.
Operations, we want to talk about anything, issues on the buses.
Well, as of now, the answer's looking real good. We haven't picked up any students yet.
Where are we at? These are contract years, right? Yeah.
We're right. Doing the last of the
yep.
This is the last of them.
Yes.
On the current contract.
On the current contract.
So one more year on it?
No, the 2019-2020 is the last.
This is the last
one.
Option.
But that will be the last year of the current contract.
Yep.
I got you. So what we're doing with that is I think we're going to notify Advance that we have concerns because of the previous years, the lack of consistency on some routes, and that's being on time and or providing service, and that we are going to immediately look after 30 days of the initial service this year on this contract at looking for additional support in terms of busing if those same problems occur immediately. We're going to do that in writing so that they're aware of it. Right?
Yep.
And then you'll try to reach out with somebody from there.
Exactly. Right? Ms. Winder sent me a contact, so I'm going to just make a call over
the
dollar. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and Rupa, are you still on the line?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, so I think I might get you. So we're going to move forward with the busing contract and kind of just let them know up front, you know, that we'll be letting them know, you know, that we want to immediately address any sort of material breaches by looking for additional support. So I might just talk with you and see if you can help us draft the letter there.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, perfect. And so we'll get that over there. We'll talk to them, and we'll take it from there.
And hopefully everything will be great. But we just know from past practice that we've had problems with certain routes, and having a viable option is something we really haven't had in our repertoire.
Yeah.
And I feel like this year we know we have that, and we just need to utilize it if necessary. start right away with reporting from the first day to advance and to the board what their on-time performance is in the AM and PM so that there's immediate feedback so that we can track them right away to develop the staff's next steps for this service.
So the question that I would have in relative to all of this is whether or not the state was have done anything definitively in reference to public transportation free for those kids in outlying areas, or any kid who wants to ride public transit to get here. Have you heard anything about that?
Yes, grade 6 through 8, if they're in those grades, we can apply to DART to get a DART pass,
yes,
that they would be able to ride public transportation to and from school, but actually they would be able to have the pass all the time, so they'd be able to use it whenever they wanted to go wherever they needed. But yeah, we have to apply to DART, and we have to find out how, I guess, the cost of it is, how much, I guess, we can pay.
I can't hear you.
It's something about the cost. When we apply to DART, we have to then, I guess, take them out of our account, so we use some of that money to buy the passes for them instead of them using the bus. And I don't know how many of our, I don't know how many of our students would be interested in.
Probably for us, that's a safety issue for kids being on DART, because DART doesn't come to the yard and pick them up. They have to go out on the street and get their style. So I would think that would probably be something to be utilized more by high school students since we're able to go up to 8th grade.
Okay.
But in a case where the parent who expresses a preference for that, then it is an option. Mm-hmm. We would recommend that they not utilize that. Wilmington can be a dangerous community. That's how a high school lost a student at the bus stop a year or two ago, a high school student, through gun violence. So we would prefer that those students be on our school buses, which pick them up in our schoolyard, which has security monitoring that at all times and staff, as opposed to being out on the street waiting at the bus stop. And then if they have to get connecting buses, then it becomes even a bigger issue.
Yeah, I definitely think it's more about high school.
Yeah.
I think a lot of high schools might be interested in.
Okay.
All right. Anything else for the operations? Oh yeah, we just did that. Alright, sorry, Mr. Watts. I was thinking of something else. Alright, so executive committee. So I don't have much for it, just two things. So Mr. Cooper, I'll catch up with you over the next month. I would like, and Principal Al had said something a little earlier tonight. So I'd like to make this the first year we just set a modest goal to raise funds. Very modest, thinking of just starting out like $10,000 to $15,000 to just get us out there. Just wanted to reach out for some of the names of folks who. One of the things I wanted to do as I've been reading is one of the best things is. This is what Sally said to me around Christmas time, is to solicit friends of the community, friends of the school. So it'd be a good idea, and I might hit up people that come from my job, but it'd be a good idea to say, Merry Christmas from Thomas Edison, blah, 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 blah. If you'd like to support us, let's do that. So it's just something very modest this year. I'm going to try to shoot for that. And if we can get grants and go above that, and we make it 100 grand, that's great. But we're just gonna start off with holding ourselves accountable to a modest goal, and then in June we'll say, this is what we could do better, or next year we've clearly reached the baby step as time is incrementing. So we'll have some sort of gauge. But until we do something, we won't really have a gauge on how to improve. The second thing is, there wasn't mentioned in our last meeting in June about being suggested that we celebrate the 20th anniversary of Thomas Edison. So next year it'll be 2020. We will have been around 20 years, and we talked about having a celebration of some sort, kind of a big sort of thing. So I'd like us to begin if that's something we're going to do, but I think we should. We got to really start to think about that. Think about everything from, venues and the whole nine, and then begin to put together a budget. And I think that's something that the board can fund.
I think this is something that
we'll get a committee together.
So she has been in for all 20 of the years that
and we should be active,
part of the mortgage.
I'm sure you'll have some folks from the board that would be happy to participate.
I have a lot of teachers, teachers that would like to be a part of it also. I think so. I would love to kind of have us join and have the teachers and board come together, maybe with a committee to kind of plan it.
We have some great party planners on us.
So Mr. Brown brought it up from the board side, so we'll let him start off as our board representative. But we're all here to support. But I think that has the potential to, number one, be great in terms of positive name recognition within the community. And second, it just will be fun to do.
I'm just saying that in this day and age where, schools are closing after 1 or 2 years, it's monumental, it's a milestone to be open for 20 years.
I mean, you look at the success rate of charter schools in the state, and then you go a step level down and say urban charter schools in the state. And I mean, just in the black radius, from Lawyer to prestige and just reach and
some of the newer ones are just open up.
To be still standing in a community that is underserved.
Pencator, you remember that?
They had a good idea, but crooked administration.
So that's one thing. So you guys have our full support to move forward.
Did you get that microphone?
Well, here's the thing. You have some well-known ones that are running into some issues as well.
Big trouble.
So it's a challenge. This is a testimony again to the commitment and integrity, of the board and of the relationship with the school. And I think that led to why the auditors always walk away. Even the state auditor commented on how our books are always just open and clean, and how, just the great job is being done. I think that's what allows you to continue to have that flexibility and, longevity as well.
So that's the second thing. And then lastly, first of all, put you on the spot, but just a little bit, just talking about the improvements of the glass and the bulletproof glass.
So we think that with all of the recent shootings, and not just recent, but we had a college kid was killed right at home from college last year, killed right on up the street, the violence in moments in general, that we about a year ago, we looked at the possibility of investing in bulletproof glass on the first floor on the street side. And we looked at it. It looked like it was about a $100,000 investment just on the first floor. More than that?
Yeah, it was about $2 million.
For one?
Just the street side thing?
I'll have to check those numbers.
They're after zero.
They like to do it. hood, it might go to Zales. I might go to Wales.
But I imagine it is.
It's not cheap. But then, what we're learning is there are large numbers of grants that are out there. And then, and also, this is the, I don't want to put everybody in a state of fear. This is something that many schools have gone
absolutely.
To. Suburban, you know, and urban because of the school violence that's taking place across the country. But we're, so we want to look at the possibility of having that done. We'd like to do it on first and second level, but we only do one, then do second level, we'll do that. We do have some classes that face the street on the backside of the building as well. It's only about two, though, right? So we'll look at those. So we'll be investigating that and then reporting back to you. And that could be something maybe we take on as a, one of the first projects of the fundraising committee. But we'll be looking at getting grants to try to improve the security of the glass in the building. I'm sure that would help alleviate some of the fears of some parents. I remember teaching in Philly that there were students who would never sit in a row by the window in class. And they would offer, were you one of them? Right. Especially during game wars. So
yeah,
I grew up.
We game war big time.
Right. And for fear of what they knew what was going on outside, and they didn't want anything, any retaliation, anything would impact them, so they would never sit near the window. These are the kind of things students. So a lot of times we'd be like, why don't you focus on my schoolwork, my tasks, my homework? I'm just trying to stay alive. So that I'm sure would alleviate, you know, some a little bit of concern, not just for them, but also for teachers.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I was a teacher, and I'm teaching in a school where in outside of, in the community, the potential for danger is there. It gives me some level of security, slight, some level of knowing that that's something that could happen.
Well, right back to Philly, Temple and Penn are doing this now, quietly doing that, not only for the buildings, but for the hospitals also.
Well, you saw that young man that held those police officers, all those weapons, and that's my old neighborhood.
I had one of my ex-coaches right up the street.
Yeah.
Lady that was my administrative assistant in my dad.
That's
crazy.
Yeah. Like, I used to play for the ball to Zion Church.
Oh, yeah, you right.
Zion League. And it breaks your heart to see the community.
Yes.
And also to see the members of the community, how they weren't even traumatized. Like, they were out there bothering the police officers.
Yeah. They had a march in support of
the shooter.
And he had a right to bear arms. The world's coming to an end.
Yeah.
So we'll continue to keep you aware of how we're doing.
Yeah, I just wanted the board to know. I just wanted to thank that's being investigated.
Because we've heard from the DOE already, Ms. Shakes.
Yeah. So they have a school safety grant that we got this year, but it's only $21,000. So we asked for more.
We have a tic tac.
So we did reach out and see if there was any other funding that they had or options, and they told us about.
Low interest loans to look into, like a bond fund or some type of loan or something like that, government loan.
If federal grant.
Especially
around this issue, because it's a hot button issue.
Yes.
And I think that we could probably get some support from the political community to support us, and probably even the police, the federal, Homeland Security, agencies like that, that we can.
We're going to reach out to Darius Brown, just see if they know of any to help, especially in light of this last week.
That's true. I mean, that just arms us for him.
We need to do that as well.
Yeah,
for
it's been
to request additional police presence. I spoke to the police department by having the first day of school having some presence out there, but I think on a regular we need to try to have that in light of the recent incidents.
Yeah.
Right.
Were you able to find the screen?
Jesse's working on that. We just had a meeting about that. So he's working on looking at the screen.
And
we're excited about that. That's going to be huge for us.
All right. Nothing really to write on there. any board member comments? Charter comments, how that goes.
Just a quick question. Did anything come out of the Grants Development and Fundraising Council? I know we talked about this like ages. I don't know if
there's
supposed to be
a
meeting. I don't know if
it's like Mr. Cooper. We haven't reached out to that. So we might have the fundraiser the group
The one out of Taiwan. Well, I know that mentioned it to everyone who was at the conference to go talk to them because
they were there.
I haven't had a chance to follow up with everybody about it, but we need to. I mean, I think they've got they sound good.
We can investigate, see if they can come down here and talk to us, or a couple of us can go up there, or whatever.
Fine.
Yeah.
Do we need to make a phone call?
I touch base on the contacts. Maybe I'll reach out to them and see what information, what would be a first step. So.
Okay.
And we'll report back to my mom.
Okay, good. We can get that started. That's
okay.
Make sure that's in the minutes.
any other one more comment? any new business? All right.
I would just like to make one comment. I know you want to get out
loud. I was trying to look at that.
It's only going
to
be 30 seconds.
No, I was looking at that board. I was trying to make a comment.
Move my board over to the cafeteria. I want to just thank the board members. I want to thank Mr. Burris for being, for our parent rep.
Happy birthday, 57 Thursday. So.
Thursday?
Yeah. Thanks for coming. Yes, sir. 57
Thursday. It was worth it. And just all of our staff reps, community members, just on behalf of the school, just every month, every day we come to work, we go to bed with satisfaction and we wake up with determination, because we know that together we're trying to make a difference in the community, and it's an honor to serve with you, and we appreciate you.
And my son loves coming.
Godspeed.
Yeah. Can't wait to Thursday.
And he's going to be in the seventh
grade.
He's making it to the third floor.
I even put this in your car.
He had your favorite shirt on today too.
It's funny you mentioned
your Ollie Boomer. The Ali shirt.
Oh, really?
Funny you mentioned shirts, because I was going to ask Principal Elwise, the entire staff, everyone is in uniform.
Yeah, I see.
I had it on, I just had it, because the one I had on, as a student said, was a little young. We did our staff photo today.
I want to make a presentation to Mr. L.
So we probably need to do a board photo. Now, all the board members have Edison shirts?
No.
So we need to make sure we get
one
for all of them.
Ms. L, we appreciate you for all of the work that you have done. It's a pleasure to follow you and to watch you as you follow us in doing the very best that we can. So while I was out there in Vegas at that conference, I found something that I thought would be most appropriate for you to wear on the first day.
Mm-hmm.
To be a part as to allow the kids to recognize that you're a part of it.
Charter school socks.
Mr. Charter School.
I was starting to wonder, what does he
do? What
how about the clock?
Motion to adjourn. All right, adjourn. All right, so move.